Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com. The Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama on IMSA Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sebring International Raceway. The early morning cloud and mist has given way to broken cloud. There's a bit of blue sky up there, and it's a very, very pleasant afternoon indeed, as we are ready for the final round of this year's IMSA Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama. 3¾ miles, 17 corners, and you only have to look to see the names. Collier, Fangio, Gurney, Bishop, Jean Debian, Le Mans, Ullman. This is an old school circuit. Originally Hendricks Field, of course, a World War II bomber base for B-24 Liberators and B-17 Flying Fortresses. And in 1950 turned into a racetrack. Well, this has been a very busy weekend, and already today we've had the penultimate round of this year's championship. So from the green flag, a great start by Riley Dickinson, who was on the front row and jumped ahead of Jeff Kingsley. In the Gold Cup category, Kurt Swearingen only has to start the two races this weekend to take the championship. He pulled off on lap two. TJ Fisher was having a good run, and then there was a little brush together. Just got past Charlie Luck for P5, and then Charlie had to pit with smoke coming from the back of his Porsche. We're pitting on the back straight here, the WEC, the World Endurance Championship pits. Alan Metney going past Sean McAllister for third. He was leading at that point in the Masters class anyway. And a cracking battle in the gold category that went down to the last lap with Efren Castro in the yellow and black car and finally getting side-by-side contact with Richard Edge in the blue and white car, who went on to take the gold after race control looked at it. And at the front of the field, pretty much a lights to flag victory for Riley Dickinson in the number 53 more speed Porsche. So the championship as it stands at the moment, Jeremy Shaw, means that we have Jeff Kingsley as the champion elect. And Riley Dickinson, well, it's about race victories for him at the moment. The grid was set by the second fastest of the laps in qualifying. That's how they will line up. The front row, Jeremy Shaw, just confirm that Jeff Kingsley has to start this race to win the championship from the front row. So they're behind the Porsche safety car at the moment, and that front row has a very similar look, Jeremy Shaw, to what we saw earlier today.
Well, it does, and all Jeff Kingsley does, he's got a 28-point lead coming into this final race. So with 35 points available for a start, he just has to take the start. This morning, yeah, started on the pole position again, but he was beaten away from the start by Riley Dickinson, who went on to win the race and did so in style. This is the 223rd and final GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama race since the series was founded back in 2005. It's also the 200th race for the Gold Cup class.
And this, Jeremy Shaw, is how they will line up for the final Porsche IMSA GT3 Cup Challenge by Yokohama race at this 2020 season.
17 cars on the starting grid. Charlie Craig, unfortunately, wasn't feeling well this morning, so did not start in the TPC car. At the back of the field is Kurt Swearingen in car number 44 for ACI Motorsports. Again, just needs to take the start to be secured of the championship. A great year he has had. Danny Hardy, car number 69, and Richard Edge, in car number 18, who took the Gold Cup win this morning, will share route 8 of the grid. Ahead of them on the grid is a pole sitter in Gold Cup as Efrain Castro in car number 65. David Brulé Sr. will start alongside him in car number 48. Row 6, Frank Razzo in car number 57 and Vernon McClure in car number 10. Row 5, Michael Minella in car number 4 and Kurt Hunt in the car number 24. Bart Collins, who had a fine run this morning, unfortunately had a problem towards the end in car number 5, will start 8th alongside Charlie Luck in car number 45. TJ Fisher in car number 56 will share row 3 with Sebastian Carrazzo in car number 27. Row 2 is Sean McAllister, who finished 4th this morning, car number 11. Alan Metney will start 3rd in the Masters class, winning car number 99. On the front row of the grid, then, Riley Dickinson, this morning's race winner. Can he make another great start? If so, that's the only way he's going to beat, I think, Jeff Kingsley, who will start for Kelleybosch Roden Race in car number 16 from the pole position for the 8th time this season.
45 minutes on the clock. The bright yellow Porsche 911 pace car, as it is safety car, if we see it again, pulls off hard right-handed into the pit lane, and Jeff Kingsley will control the field as we come down to the final green flag of the IMSA Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama for this season and indeed for this championship, with a brand new Porsche Carrera Cup USA coming in 2021. And Kingsley gets the whole shot and will lead through turn one into second for the outside pole sitter. Riley Dickinson and Sean McAllister in the Shell JDX coloured car comes through into third place. Can he hold off the white iFly number 95 car through turn three? Answer, yes he can, and he does confirm himself then in third position through Big Bend for the first time under that relatively new Corvette drive over bridge, and heading down towards the first big stop of this 3¾-mile lap down at turn 7 for the first time of action asking. It is Kingsley from Dickinson, from McAllister, then Metney, fifth position Sebastian Carrazzo in that new colour scheme with the teal front end, so used to seeing the 27 car in bright highlighter yellow. That's taking some getting used to, and I must have a word with young Sebastian about changing his livery on the last race of the season. Not great for old brains like mine on that one. Kingsley and Dickinson pull away first and second position. Great start by Jeff Kingsley. Didn't get jumped at the start, which he did earlier in the weekend in our first race. Jeremy Shaw, Riley Dickinson has it all to do now if he's going to claim another victory over Kingsley.
Yeah, he finished the 2019 season, Riley Dickinson, by winning the final two races of the year. That was at the Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. Now we're at Sebring 1 year later. He was the fastest guy in practice, but only qualified second in both races to Jeff Kingsley. Managed to beat the Canadian this morning. He's got his work cut out. He's going to do it again this afternoon. But certainly a good start by both of these two, and already beginning to inch away from Sean McAllister in third place.
There have been the class of the field in 2020 in this championship. I don't think you're going to find anyone with an argument there. Looks like Kingsley just drifted a little off the apex in turn 17. Might give Dickinson a chance to pull alongside as they come onto the start finish line. Can't quite get the overlap. And these cars, remember, identical, running on the Yokohama tyres. 45 minutes, particularly on a quick circuit like this, around about the distance that they can do on a full tank of fuel. And we actually did closer to 47 minutes of racing this morning because of when the white flag and therefore the checkered flag came out relative to where the leader was as time expired. So you do have to be a little bit careful, or very well said, well, we can do 50 minutes if we need to, but you don't want everybody running out on the last lap of fuel. Through the hairpin again in front of the hotel, and a spin for McAllister, and a brilliant piece of avoidance there by Alan Metney, who goes through into third in the Kelleybosch Roden race car. And Sean McAllister will be absolutely apoplectic with rage with himself. I don't think he got a helping hand there or a bumper. No, he didn't. And Alan Metney decided First of all, I think he was deciding to go left and then realised the 11 car was going to roll off onto the grass on driver's left and drag the car to the right. Brilliant piece of avoidance by Metney, who goes into third position, still leading the Masters class. And now it's a long, long, long drive back for that number 11 car, Sean McAllister, who has spun down to the end of the field. But just proving, Jeremy, how tricky these cars can be to drive with no traction control, heavy with fuel, of course, although the fuel is in the front of the cars here, but the engine's still at the back and the Yokohama tyres still coming up to temperature and pressure. Caught McAllister out there.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, John, and he's going to rejoin a long, long way behind everybody else. And this battle now then is for third place, with Alan Metney holds the position ahead of Sebastian Carrazzo and TJ Fisher, who's going to be headed off to race at the Baja, California, leaving here tomorrow morning. He'll be racing there next week. And also, we'll be racing in that event are several other people from this paddock, including Jeff Stone from the Kelly Moss Road and Race team. It's the Kelly Moss that leads this. He slid wide, didn't he, Jeff Kingsley? So that has handed the lead to Riley Dickinson.
Well, 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 what a very, very eventful opening couple of laps. Just a word for what's going on in the gold category, by the way. Kurt Swearingen in this weekend, the number 44 car, rather than his normal number 17. That is in honour and commemoration of his father. Terrible news for Kurt and his family that Kurt's dad died earlier on this week. As you might imagine, Kurt's thoughts certainly elsewhere, but having had a father as a racer, he wanted to come here and get the championship. He's got the 44 on this weekend. He pulled off after a couple of laps in the first race because he had the championship, let's be honest, pretty much won before he came here. He's had a cracking season and nobody's going to criticise him. I suspect that Kurt Swearingen will pull in at the end of the second or third lap, and of course every one of us here and every race fan will pass on their condolences to Kurt Swearingen and his family and friends. Awful news this week to have to deal with.
Yeah, what a bittersweet week for Kurt. He's had, as you say, a fantastic season. Yeah, to make matters, I don't know, better or worse, he had a birthday as well this week, but he'll be, you know, awfully sad. And just carrying the number on the race car that his father used to race with, I think, is super cool. He has indeed pulled into the pits at the end of that second lap, so a job done for Kurt, and commiserations, Kurt, but what a great job this season. He came in to this year without any wins to his name. He's been a dominant force in this championship. He had some great battles with Efren Castro, but he was very much the man to beat. And Kurt Swearingen from Chattanooga, Tennessee, a deserving champion for that ACI Motorsports team.
Carrying his dad's number, the 44, a very fitting tribute as he took that number to the championship here this weekend. Michael Minella also coming in to the pits at the end of that lap, as he seems to have an issue, not aware of any contact for Minella in the MCR racing car. Jeremy, plenty of action at the front of the field. Alan Metney then in third position, but the new livery of Sebastian Carrazzo still carrying that number 27, and my goodness me, what a history that number has in motorsport around the world. The Kelly Moss Road and Race car, normally bright highlighter yellow, but now in a sort of harlequin effect, different from the left to the right as well. I noticed my father, who was a police officer, would have said, well, it might not be pretty, but it'll confuse the witnesses, but it certainly stands out for young Sebastian Carrazzo, running in fourth position at the moment and chasing down the Kelly Moss Road and Race number 99, teammate, I suppose. It is EM Motorsports, but that's Alan's own team as well. So the 99 car, which was a brand new car, I believe, to him this weekend, because it was absolutely perfectly Porsche out of the factory white before the weekend started, Jeremy.
Yeah, and I think the reason for the livery, the new livery on Sebastian Carrasco's car, that also a different car to the one we saw last time out at St. Petersburg, because you remember they didn't start the second race, had a big crash in the first race in St. Petersburg on the city streets just a couple of hours or so away from here. So that's a different car that Sebastian Carrasco is running also for the Kelly Moss team in the fourth position, car number 27.
It's Jeremy Shaw as we continue. And where's the first 10 minutes gone? Absolutely extraordinary. Great racing already, as we have seen down through the years in the IMSA Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama. And Riley Dickinson doing what he did this morning. Once he did get to the front, he's beginning to ease away from Jeff Kingsley, who will be kicking himself. Chance to round off the championship in style and stand on the top step. Current circumstances precluding the big celebration at the end of the year, of course, but there will be a socially distanced prize giving later on today at Sebring. David Brulé Senior having a good battle down for what is 8th and 9th position and holding on to that for the moment, but he's under pressure there at the bottom end of the top 10, Jeremy.
Indeed so, yeah. There's some pretty close battles all the way up and down this field. Kurt Hand had a good run this morning, and he's looking for another one here this afternoon. It's amazing, isn't it? It's very different for us to have two different races in one day. Actually, Kurt Hand didn't finish the race this morning. He dropped out of it, but he's back in the fray now and running inside the top 10. And to chase, trying to track down David Brulé Senior. But out front, meanwhile, Riley Dickinson setting new fastest laps, 2:07.3 last time around. That was actually quicker than his fastest lap this morning. His best lap this morning was a 2:07.7. So already going quicker than that is our race leader, Riley Dickinson.
Just going to prove how good these guys are. Kelly Moss Roden Race, one of the big teams here. David Brulé Senior just going down to the final corner, turn 17, known as a sunset. Not at this time of day, though, not quite yet. Different time of year for IMSA to be here for the Mobile One 12 hours, but still a great event. Not the 130,000 plus highly knowledgeable and highly excitable fans around the circuit either, of course, in the current times, but what a great way to finish the IMSA season, and particularly for this last ever IMSA Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama. And we have to pay tribute to all of the teams and drivers who have raced here down through the years. It has been a staple of IMSA, as Porsche have been as well. And the racing that we've seen with the different categories in the different classes, even with the different types of Porsche 993 Cup car that Jeremy and I have covered down through the years. A few highlights for me. I remember the race into the evening time at Corta at the Circuit of the Americas a few years ago, Jeremy. That was one that I thoroughly enjoyed. There's not been, I don't think, even maybe one of these races where we haven't had something to talk about. Some more than others. We had a bit of a worrisome race with some questionable driving standards at Road America a few years ago. That big incident at Watkins Glen that early on took out a lot of championship contenders. But generally speaking, we've had entertainment, action and emotion aplenty from this category down through the years.
Well, we really have. It's been a fantastic championship, and you know, there's been some great racing over the years, and in the last several years, it's really enabled some young drivers to make a name for themselves.
Very important.
In the past, I think it was kind of more known just for sort of gentlemen drivers, or it's always been for non-professionals. That's been the case. It's a challenge series. It's not a Carrera Cup series. So it's for non-professional drivers. But certainly, the last few years, several young drivers, including these two we see up front now, Riley Dickinson and Jeff Kingsley, very much youngsters who are looking to make a name for themselves in this sport.
Yeah, and the balance between that and drivers who just want to keep racing for the pure fun of motor racing and have the ability to invest their time and their finances in a Porsche race car and give up a few weekends. I think it's worked very well, and that will continue, by the way, into the new Carrera Cup next year with the Pro-Am series. There's going to be a Rookie Cup, as well as, for the first time, what amounts to a Porsche Young Drivers Academy in the US for the Porsche Carrera Cup USA in 2021. And that's very exciting. Don't have to enrol for that if you're a young driver. You will automatically be involved in it. And that will give the winner of that category the opportunity to go to the Porsche Motorsport Young Driver Shootout back over in Europe at the end of next season, which is a very exciting opportunity. That's in 2021. We're celebrating the fantastic years of racing that we've seen in the Porsche, the IMSA Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama, with half an hour left of the 2020 season. At the front of the field, then, one of those young drivers trying to make a name for himself, up by a second and a half. Riley Dickinson from Jeff Kingsley, see above comment. Then Alan Metney at the other end of his career, one of the Masters class cars in third position. And Alan's already won a race outright this year. Battles down the field, including TJ Fisher for Top Racing, right in behind Charlie Luck in the Rainbow 45 car on the back straight at the moment. Fantastic opportunity for TJ here in the latter part of the season, Jeremy.
Yeah, it has. He's been given this opportunity by David Baker to drive this car. Both he and for the last few races, well, most of the season, actually, has been run two different cars through the season. Kenny Murillo drove it for most of the year. TJ Fisher finishing out the season. And it's been a great opportunity for those two guys to make a step at this level. And I think David is looking forward to continuing to bring on some young drivers, having stepped away from the cockpit himself, having competed in 100 races himself as a driver. He's looking to help some youngsters make a name for themselves in this sport. There's TJ making a fine nice move there.
That was very, very impressive indeed. In the Apex Capital car, he's gone through, and following him through, actually, Sean McAllister recovering from that self-inflicted spin at turn 7 right at the start of the race, and he's carving his way back through the field now, and with half an hour to go, you wouldn't bet against Sean getting right back up to the sharp end of things. JDX, of course, another team that's been involved in this series for a long time, and with some pretty powerful and very experienced people behind the helm of JDX, Jeremy.
Jeremy Dale and Harrison Bricks, they've run a really tight operation there at JDX. They've had a lot of success over the years, and they'll be disappointed that Sean McAllister kind of threw away most likely a podium finish here. I'm sure he can get himself up inside the top 7 or 8 perhaps, but anything more than that, I think would be a bit of a stretch. Maybe up to 6th place if he can really get his head down. He's already back inside into the 11th position, and Charlie Luck is running 6th at the moment, as we see Sean McAllister is trying to get a run going on to the Alec Almond straight to try and find a way past now Franklin Razzo.
The right-hand indicator on from the 57 car. I don't think there was much defence going on there from that number 57. That's very interesting indeed. Frank Razzo obviously recognising, Jeremy, that was a quicker car behind him. And that's really sensible. He realises that Sean's a young charger, probably saw him spin, or at least the aftermath of the spin down at turn 7 early on, and thinks, you know what, I don't need to be fighting him tooth and nail. He's going to get past me eventually. I'd much rather have a straight car at the end of this rather than a little bit of a schmozzle or a misunderstanding about who wants what piece of road.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. There's no point in doing anything silly. He's already had a spin, so just do the best he can. Meanwhile, out front, Riley Dickinson is just edging away just a little bit from Jeff Kingsley. He was so disappointed not to get the pole position yesterday for David Moore's Moore Speed team. Both proudly carry the colours of Texas on their car, and David Moore has helped. He's another guy who's helped a lot of young drivers over the years as well. But Riley Dickinson, having given up, having not been able to claim the pole position yesterday, put that right to rights this morning with a brilliant start from the outside of the front row to take the lead at turn one. This time he had to rely on a very rare thing, a mistake from Jeff Kingsley at the end of the second lap to take the lead of this race. And he's going to put his head down now and try and cement his advantage at the front. So could it be for the second year running that Riley Dickinson will sweep the final weekend of the season?
You've got to feel a little bit for Riley because he's driven more than perfectly adequately this year. He's driven very well indeed, but he's come up in the year of the championship against Jeff Kingsley, who has been virtually wheel perfect. And you rightly say, Jeremy, a mistake there, which, you know, put that one on the highlights reel for the end of season, because that is a rarity.
Well, it is, and but Kelly Moss, I mean, the dominant team in this championship. They've won 70 of the 222 races so far since 2005. It's a remarkable achievement. They've won four championships. They've had 12 years. They've won races. The only years they haven't won. They actually didn't win the first 2 years. In fact, the first win they had was in 07. They didn't win in 09. They didn't win in 2013, but every other year, at least one victory. That's a remarkable record for Jeff Stone's organisation.
And whilst you were giving that fabulous information, Sean McAllister continues his redemption drive past the number 21st Kurt Hunt, the ACI Motorsports machine. So that is now what, 8th position for the JDX racing car, back at the scene of the crime, as it were. Makes no mistakes this time, and now is looking up the road towards Bart Collins for MCR Racing. What, another 10 seconds or so up the road, and that would be 7th position at the front of the field. Yeah. Still these two young chargers carry on. What's, you know, you talk about career development, Jeremy, earlier on here in the IMSA Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama. You're in front of a lot of powerful people on the big IMSA weekends for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, like here at the season closer at the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring. Where do these guys go next? What would be their next step? Because we have seen people come through from this championship into the substantive IMSA multi-class championships.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Jeff Kingsley this season, he's already had an opportunity to join Compass Racing for the final few races of the sprint season in the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship for that McLaren team. So it certainly opened the door, I think, for Jeff Kingsley to get that opportunity. For Riley Dickinson, I think the plan is to run in the Carrera Cup Series next season, but I'm not, honestly not sure about that. Certainly that would be another step towards his goal of becoming a professional driver.
Porsche, down through the years, have developed talent right across the globe, and to the very forefront of that has been the fact that the Carrera Cups and the Porsche Cup Challenges have all used the same car. We're moving into a new era where the new 992, as it's called, body shape, already in the showrooms and on the streets. It's a very much a wide body car. Pass for position down here at turn seven. Charlie Luck was very confident of his ability on the brakes there and holds on. That was a smashing piece of driving with Bart Collins right in behind him. So the new 992 for next year, but when you look at the talent, Jeremy, that have started their driving careers in Porsches, and the nice thing is that you can compare some of these youngsters across the whole world. And if you think of somebody like Porsche at Works, the Works drivers that we see even in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, Earl Bamber, for example, has been and won the Asia Carrera Cup, although he started in a different part of the championship. But jumping in and out of the cars in different championships, if you get that opportunity, means you can pick your skills against the other young drivers who are coming through. And that, I think that's always been something that's been very important, and frankly, in a global sense, is not quite unique to Porsche, but it's fairly unusual for a single manufacturer championship.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it, to have these championships all over the world, and if you've got the opportunity, you can go race elsewhere. Look at this battle for the lead. It's not over yet, is it? Riley Dickinson is certainly not pulling away now from Jeff Kingsley. In fact, the other way around, the margins come down a little bit. It did stretch out about three laps ago to about 1.6 seconds. It's now down to less than a second between the top two. So Jeff Kingsley, the 22-year-old from Ajax, Ontario, Canada, he has not given up hope of getting yet another win to cement his championship in perfect style.
Yeah, that would be a nice way to finish the season. I mean, he's going to get the big cup and possibly he might think, more importantly, the use of a 911 for a year as well, because there will be a set of keys handed over to a brand new 2020 model 992, just as we've been talking about Porsche, for his delectation for a 12-month, and that has for a long time been part of the championship prizes across the world. I've commentated and seen many different championships, the Carrera Cup GB, Middle East as well, which have started some very interesting careers. Christina Nielsen, who has been a IMSA champion, started her rise to prominence, certainly in the Carrera Cup at Middle East. I think of people like Damien Faulkner and Richard Westbrook, who came through Carrera Cup GB. And Timo Bernard was a young driver, as was Sascha Massin. If you go back a bit further into the Porsche archives now, those two guys, well, Timo's still driving, as is Sascha. They're also Porsche ambassadors. But you can't fault Porsche for using this to pick off some of the brightest and boldest who've gone to the very top and been Le Mans winners and GT winners and Le Mans overall winners, of course, down through the years. Riley Dickinson and Jeff Kingsley are stamping their authority on this championship. But Dickinson not got this all his own way, Jeremy. 20 minutes to go and the gap is back under a second. Jeff Kingsley has found, well, in his Yokohama tyres and in his Kelly Moss Road and Race Porsche, he's found a bit of a second wind here.
Yeah, he has. And nice consistent last two laps, so last three laps for the race leader, all within a few hundredths of a second of each other. So you know, he's just driving a nice consistent race at the moment. Jeff Kingsley edging just a little bit closer. But it's catching and passing are two different things all together, as we always say in this sport. And you know, we saw earlier on Jeff Kingsley had the upper hand, but the one slight slip down at turn 17 under braking, and that was all it needed to allow Riley Dickinson to make that pass and pull away. So now Jeff Kingsley will be hoping the boot is on the other foot, looking for a mistake perhaps, and trying to pressure Riley Dickinson into a mistake.
Yeah, and you make a good point here, Jeremy, because there are very few advantages to be had in the setup of the car. It is a single manufacturer series, so all the Porsches are identical, and trust me, Porsche have made their name down through the years in getting the cars so close. It is ridiculous. That's in engine power and everything else. That's what Porsche have done. They've done this for a very long time. Flash of the lights from Jeff Kingsley going down into turn 17, because that's going to give him an extra 40 horsepower to blast straight by. No, of course it doesn't, but he's trying to just take the concentration away from Riley Dickinson. This is about planning and scheming, Jeremy. This is about very marginal gains. One lap here. Where am I just a little bit quicker? Where is he perhaps a little bit slower? And Jeff, we know Jeff, he's a very thoughtful young driver. He's got to put away the thoughts of that mistake, because you can't afford to beat yourself up about that now. Do that in the next couple of weeks if you feel you have to. Somehow I think the thought of a new Porsche road car might just put that to the back of his mind a bit. But now he's got to concentrate on where he can find a tenth here, a half a tenth there, round this 3 3/4 mile circuit.
Yeah, each of the last three laps for Riley Dickinson are 2:07.95, 2:07.93, 2:07.94. That's pretty darn good for the leader of this race.
Wow.
Yeah, for the second place guy, for Jeff Kingsley, he's staring at the back end of that number 53 car ahead of him. And it's much easier in many ways to be chasing rather than being chased. Because when you're the guy out front, you're trying to focus ahead, but you also got to, you know, a little bit of an eye on the mirrors to make sure the guy's not lunging at you trying to make a pass. So it's much more difficult, I think, to be out in the lead than he's in second place. But these two, I mean, they're super closely matched. They've been closely matched all the way through the year. They've traded fastest laps, wins, pole positions all the way through. They have been, as you were saying earlier on, John Hindhoff, the class of the field, but they are very, very closely matched. And Riley Dickinson, you know, he felt coming into this championship, he thought he had a really good chance to win it. I think it's been, you know, a bit of a wake-up call that Jeff Kingsley has had most wins and he's going to win the championship, so he wants to make sure he ends the season on a strong note.
And he's very strong in this race. He has the Yokohama fastest lap in platinum at the moment, despite him being in second position. The gap's come down under half a second. 2:07.222 is the Yokohama fastest lap for the platinum cars. Those are the second generation, the newest generation of the 991 body shape for these Porsche Cup cars. 4-litre direct injection. The 992s that form the 991 Gen 2 that form the gold category with the 3.8, the Metzger engine, as it's called in Porsche circles. That's led at the moment down in 13th place by Efren Castro. That championship has slipped away from Efren, but he does have the Yokohama fastest lap at a 2:12.448. Not quite as much power, slightly different aero on the Gold Cup cars as well. A bit different inside as well, the Gen 2 cars. Just a little bit of a tuck and a tweak, as well as a couple of hundred cc more. Down towards turn 7, this is the most interested we've seen. Jeff Kingsley looking for a way by, and he's beginning now, Jeremy, I think, just to start to think about where he has the advantage. Can't afford a low percentage lunge here. That's not his way. That's not what we've seen all this year. I suspect it won't be what we'll see here. Doesn't have to win this race. He wants to win the championship in style, clearly, but he wants to make a good, clean pass. That's the way Jeff races, and that's the way Riley races as well, in all fairness.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we're going to see any stilly moves here, but certainly Jeff Kingsley, he would like nothing better than to win this race and win the championship, and that would be a 71st win. Wow. For his team principal here, Jeff Stone. It's a remarkable achievement. This Kelly Moss Roden Race team, they've been around this sport a long, long time. Huge amount of success. And Jeff Kingsley, you know, this car, it's won the championship with Roman De Angelis, with Jacob Edson over the last few years as well. So it's a great car. It's a great team. And Jeff Kingsley now is as close as he has been as they head towards Sunset Bend.
He chose to go to the left-hand side there because Riley Dickinson was just drifting to the right, but he's thrown the dummy and dived to the inside. Oh my goodness, what a pass. What a pass from Kingsley. That is the pass of a champion. He is going to be the champion, and that is one for his personal highlight reel. Brilliant stuff. Got a great run out of turn 16 onto the Alec Ullman straight. Allowed Riley Dickinson to just drift over and hold him off for a moment, and then threw the car down the inside, right across from the left-hand side of the road to the right. That was an absolutely quality move. You don't see many better moves there at Sebring. Passing places at Sebring, turn 7, which is where they're coming now. And here comes Dickinson, tries to go the long way around and gets a good overlap. This one's not over yet. In the braking area, Dickinson will have a little look, but doesn't get it done. You'd say turn 7, definitely. Maybe turn 10. Maybe even tower turn, but down the inside with two cars so evenly matched, Jeremy, this was a cracking move by Kingsley, the way he swept over from the left-hand side of the road to the apex on the right.
Yeah, and Ryan Dickinson was so busy defending on the inside line there, because he was on the inside line, it's a much shallower entrance to the corner. He's not able to carry so much speed through that corner, Sunset Bend, as is Jeff Kingsley from the outside line. As a result of that, he carried too much speed into the corner, did Riley Dickinson. That's what enabled Jeff Kingsley to go past. It's exactly what happened on the second lap of the race the other way around. So Jeff Kingsley has played that absolutely perfectly. Great racing between these two youngsters.
I tell you what, Jeremy, if that had been the pass to win the championship, that would have been appropriate. There is a little bit of a donut on the side of the 53 car. That was certainly not from that move. That may have been picked up earlier in the contest. But just on the around the number, you can see a Yokohama tyre mark perfectly around the door there on the Moosby car. Yeah, if that was the move that had won the championship, that would have been absolutely appropriate. But that, what a way to win a race. If that is the passing move that wins the final race of this IMSA Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama, that is one that was absolutely spot on. That's a tough move to make, Jeremy, because of the bumps at turn 17. You've got to be so precise and so confident, and Kingsley was.
You have, but you know, it was the pressure they put on Dickinson. That's what enabled him to make that pass. Riley Dickinson just braked too late on the inside line, ran a little bit wide. That's all Kingsley needed. If Dickinson had braked just a little bit sooner, Kingsley would have been on the outside of him, and going around the outside of turn 17, that's really not going to work. So he needed to brake a little bit earlier than he did Riley Dickinson. That's another lesson learned for this youngster.
A little bit of wheel spin on the Yokohamas coming out of turn 7 for the leader, Jeff Kingsley. Under 10 minutes to go, but Dickinson not close enough to make the pass at turn 10. Running into the final laps of the 2020 IMSA Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge, the USA by Yokohama. Kelly Moss Road and Race, Jeff Kingsley leads with the Yokohama fastest lap of the Platinum Race at 2:07.222. Still leading in gold in 13th position overall. Efren Castro for TPC. He has the Yokohama fastest lap of a 2:12.306. And we're down to the last few laps of this championship.
Now is Efren Castro well in command for TPC Racing of the Gold Cup category, the 200th Gold Cup race in the history of this championship. Looks like it's going to go the way of Efren Castro. He led most of this morning's race until being beaten right at the end by a very bold move from Richard Edge. It was a great battle between those two, but this afternoon, Efren Castro very much has been in control in that fine fare supermarkets car run by TPC Racing.
2:12.306 is the fastest lap, the Yokohama fastest lap in the gold category, and that is with the leader. He's stretched away. Richard Edge still in second place for ACI Motorsports. Kurt Swearing and will take the championship under, I'm sure, a very heavy heart, but with that sad news from his family earlier on in the week. He's already pitted but done enough to take the championship. He had a cracking start to the season. A word about Richard Edge, Jeremy, because he has just gained in confidence all the way through this season. Got his first race in the first race here at Sebring earlier on today.
Yeah, it was a tremendous drive. He had to be very forceful on the final lap to keep Efren Castro behind him, but the stewards did look into that incident. There was contact between the pair of them at turn 10, but the stewards decided, yeah, it was good. Hard racing on the final lap, so he was able to keep that win. It was a really, really well-earned victory for Richard Edge, but this afternoon he's not quite got the pace. I think he's probably been hamstrung a little bit by the fact he's stuck there behind Danny Hardy in number 69. That's a platinum class car, so not in the same class as Richard Edge, but he can't get past Danny Hardy in order to put any pressure on Efren Castro.
Yeah, and remember, Danny Hardy has a new iteration, a 4-litre iteration of the flat six engine, 3.6 in the Gold Cup, direct injection as well. So that car's making quite a few more horsepower than the car chasing it. And you can make up a bit in the corners. We've seen that done before, of course. But ultimately, there's a lot of very quick running here at Sebring, particularly down the long Alec Ullman back straight, which is where our leaders are at the moment, coming into turn 17 with just on 6.5 minutes to go. So Castro from Edge in GT3 Gold at the front, Kingsley for Kelly Moss Road Race by now nearly 2 seconds over second place Riley Dickinson, and this battle continues between the second place Richard Edge in that blue and white car, but he at the moment is fighting to try and get past that more powerful and quicker car in a straight line. Now, the other storyline we've been following since pretty much the early part of the race is the drive back to the sharper end of the field by Sean McAllister for JTX Racing. And he's closing up, Jeremy, now on a gap that was, remember, 10 seconds when he got past Kurt Hunt. But Bart Collins and Charlie Luck, who were battling for 6th and 7th, are now, well, target acquired.
Yeah, very much so. He's caught them now. Now can he find a way past? Certainly, he caught them pretty rapidly. The last couple of laps, he was closing probably 1.5 seconds or even 2 seconds a lap. But the last couple of laps, he's really not gained much at all on them. He's kind of in their wake now. That's going to be upsetting the car just a little bit through some of the quicker corners here, which is going to make it a bit more difficult to follow closely. So it's still Charlie Luck that leads this battle in the 6th position overall, 2nd place in the Masters category. But he's got Bart Collins right behind him, and Bart Collins had another really good run this morning in that car before he had a technical problem late on and had to bring the car into the pits. But he's put the pressure on the second place Masters car of Charlie Luck, and you know, trying to get onto the podium in his first race in the Platinum class. He's been a Gold Cup runner this year and last, so Bart Collins has really done a good job in his first weekend in a Platinum class car.
Getting used to the extra power, slightly different aero and the different layout inside. A lot of the updates for the Gen 2 car, the Platinum Class car here, were brought down from the Le Mans and GT Le Mans cars and the GTE cars, the Porsche run. Still, Richard Edge has an eyeful of the TPC Racing car ahead of him. Now, he wants to be looking at a TPC Racing car, but he wants to be looking at a black and yellow TPC Racing car of Efren Castro, not the TPC Racing Platinum car, Jeremy, that's right in front of him.
No, that's true. That's going to be frustrating for Richard Edge here. He's got to find a way past. He's just not close enough even to think about making a move on Danny Hardy. So a good job though it has been for Richard Edge. I think he's going to have to settle for second place in the class here unless he can drum up something pretty special in the closing stages of this race. And we're now under 4 minutes remaining.
And down at turn one, once again, we have a battle. That's another classic Sebring overtaking manoeuvre. Well, I say that, Jeremy, and I've got to say, on a flying lap, you've got to have quite some advantage now at turn one, because even for these GT cars, and certainly for anything with any more downforce, turn one is so quick now. Tyre technology, suspension technology, all technologies have come on so much. Turn one, which used to be a passing opportunity, it's so quick now that you're barely hitting the brakes and slowing down.
Yeah, that's right. It's a super fast corner. Now, these cars are so sophisticated these days that you carry a lot of speed through there. The car dances around a lot, but they are super fast through there. Interesting to see there that Bart Collins really defending the inside line. There's no way, from his perspective, that Sean McAllister is going to sneak down the inside into turn seven.
These Porsche Cup cars, very interesting driving characteristics, of course. The classic Porsche 911 with the engine right out over the back, and a little bit of a sideways slide there by Bart Collins in the white car in the middle of the three car battle going through the Jean de Bian Benz now. But they do without ABS and traction control, which many of the modern GT cars have. If you think of GT4 and GT3, it's Not easy to jump into those cars and be quick, but you have got some electronic aids. Not so here in Porsche Cup. And if you can drive these cars, you can drive. There's no doubt about that. Leaders have gone through. 2.7 seconds between Kingsley and Dickinson. Just under 2 minutes to go. I think it'll be the white flag next time around for the leaders, Jeremy. And this battle will get another lap, of course, as well as they cross the line right now.
Yeah, the leaders, I think, were within about 2 or 3 seconds of having the white flag this time around, but they were just kind of fast enough to get across the line before there was enough important time for one more lap. So it'll be white flag next time around. So the race is certainly going to go longer than 45 minutes, but they are going to get to another lap and a half for the race leaders. There's also a battle brewing, by the way, for a fourth and fifth position, because Sebastian Carrazzo, all of a sudden having edged clear of TJ Fisher, who's now got that top racing Apex Capital car number 56 pretty close behind him. You see this battle though. This time Mark Collins does not shut the door at turn seven, and Sean McAllister thinks about moving to the inside isn't close enough.
Yeah, that was very confident by Bart Collins in the number five car, because he didn't defend, as Jeremy said. So he was confident he had enough of an advantage in distance and in his ability to slow that car down into the hairpin at turn seven, that he didn't feel the need to cover. Coming down to under half a minute now, and Jeff Kingsley looks like he's going to top off a phenomenal season with the race in the very last ever run for the IMSA Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yorker Harbour. Through he goes to see the white flag. 3¾ miles for Jeff Kingsley and Kelly Moss Racing. And at the line, 3.5 seconds should see him home over Riley Dickinson. Yeah. They'll share the spoils this weekend in terms of the overall victory. The championship will go to Jeff Kingsley. Charlie Luck at the moment winning the battle of 6th, 7th and 8th that he's had with Bart Collins and Sean McAllister, but I have a feeling that Sean is not going to give up. He'll still be really annoyed with himself for spinning away a potential podium position early on in this race. 45 minutes is elapsed. We're going into overtime, extra time, more racing, more emotion and potentially more excitement in the final race of the IMSA Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yorker Harbour. That is poetry, Jeremy, exactly as we expect from this series.
Yeah, just keep this going as long as we possibly can. I mean, you know, we almost were a lap short. You know, we didn't quite get to the finish line before there was enough time for one more lap, so they're going to complete this final lap, and this battle is continuing here for 6th, 7th and 8th positions. And Sean McAllister, I think he's going to have a look to the inside unless Mark Collins can keep that door shut.
Down towards the hairpin again, and
there was no way this time.
There was no way
he's going to leave that door open.
Yeah, Bart might have been. Oh, but he's left the door open this time at turn 10. Not quite able to take the opportunity. Yeah, he wasn't. He showed plenty of confidence earlier on a couple of laps ago, but wasn't taking any chances there. 2020 has been a year that many of us would like to forget. There's been plenty of challenges for us right across the world, but in the IMSA Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge, it will be one to remember and to savour for Jeff Kingsley and for Kelly Moss Racing, who takes the final race of the season. He'll stand on the top step of the podium and he will take the championship. What a run for him this year in this final ever race for this championship. Meantime, in second place, Riley Dickinson has come through. Alan Metney will be on the overall podium, wins Masters here and wins the championship. And Charlie Luck is going to win this enthralling battle for 6th, 7th and 8th. Sean McAllister still wants to make up one more position in the JDX Racing Shell car. He'll do the old over and under and come back to the right hand side. He's got a phenomenal run to the line and he's going to steal it right at the end of the race. That sums up this championship so much. How appropriate is that? Pretty much the last cars to come across the line that could have a race, did have a race, and we changed the position. In Gold Cup, it's going to be Efren Castro who will win. Richard Edge has got back behind him with no other platinum cars in the way, but I don't think there's enough time for him to make up. We won't see Kurt Swearingen cross the line, but we will celebrate his championship and offer him our thoughts and prayers for what he's been through this week with the family tragedy. But Efren Castro has a real future as well, and there's another name to think about. And Richard Edge has taken his first victory of the year this weekend on the hallowed concrete of Silverstone. There'll be a lot of Sebring, another World War II fighter and bomber base, of course. But Richard Edge will have something to celebrate as well, and that is a cracking result for those two drivers. Jeremy Shaw, what a season, what an end to the race, particularly that run to the line for Sean McAllister to nick the position for JDX right at the end.
Yeah, fitting way to finish this season, the championship as it is. It's been 15 years of great racing in this Porsche GTT Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama. Brilliant performance today by Jeff Kingsley. A heartbreak, quite literally, I think, for Riley Dickinson. I think he was literally heartbroken and kind of gave up in the closing stages. He realized he wasn't going to get past Jeff Kingsley again, so has to settle for second place. But 11th win on the season for the Canadian Jeff Kingsley, the 71st for Kelly Moss Road and Race.
Quality stuff. We know that the championships have gone to Jeff Kingsley and to Kurt Swearingen, and congratulations to Riley Dickinson for second place today, his win yesterday, and of course his second place in the championship. Let's say exactly the same to Efren Castro and Richard Edge, who've made it a great Gold Cup season. Our Yokohama fastest laps today went to Jeff Kingsley in platinum and to Efren Castro in gold. What a season, what a 15 years, what sights and sounds we've had with these Porsches down through the years. For Jeremy Shaw, I'm John Hindorf, and for all of our production staff down through the years, thank you for watching the Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge USA by Yokohama.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at radiolemans.com.